This is Crime Binge.
Welcome to Crime Binge,
the mini-sode.
And this week, we're covering the documentary Casting John Benet.
And it was directed by a woman named Kitty Green and released on Netflix April 28th of 2017.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Nice. I just pulled up the Google page for it.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently this won an award.
Oh.
For best feature length documentary in AACTA. So,
don't know what that is.
I don't either, but apparently it won an award. And with that being said,
what's your rating?
I was going to say that to you. What's your rating?
I mean, going into it, not really knowing what it was,
right,
and then seeing it at the end, I would say an 8. Like, I liked it pretty good. It wasn't the best thing,
yeah,
but it wasn't bad at all.
Okay. I'm gonna go with the 6. I didn't love it. It's only an hour and 20 minutes, and I texted Sarah saying, this is the longest hour and 20 minutes of my life, because, to be honest, we chose it because it was shorter and we didn't have to devote as much time as, like, a limited series, and it still felt like it was so much to watch. And I don't know if that's just because it's really slow what it is, but I was like, I'm trying to get through this movie and it's really hard to get through.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't love it. I didn't hate it either. It just didn't do anything for me.
Like, because the way this movie is,
mm-hmm,
you have to already know the story of JonBenet Ramsey.
Yeah.
Or else you're lost, because they don't tell the story. It's just basically the whole movie is collecting people's opinions.
Yeah, it's
from,
like,
Boulder, Colorado.
Conspiracy theories, almost. And that is, we should tell you what the premise of it is, because I honestly didn't know a lot going into it. And I just assumed, by the name Casting JonBenet, that they were making, like, an actual movie, and that this was the process leading up to it. I don't think that is the case.
No, they didn't make a movie.
After watching the documentary. But they essentially take, like, a bunch of local actors or people who want to be actors, I guess. Mm-hmm. And they cast them in the different roles, like JonBenet herself, the mother Patsy, John, the dad, and Burke. Is that the brother's name? Burke. He always has such a bizarre name. And I always forget. But I guess JonBenet is also kind of an interesting name.
It is a very interesting name.
But yeah, that's basically the whole premise, is like getting these people together and you watch them reenact.
Yeah, like
scenes.
You watch them audition for it and then you get their opinion on what they think happened.
Yeah, it's very interesting. It's a cool concept, but it's super fucking weird, personally. Do you want to just like get into the movie?
Yeah.
So the literal very first scene of this documentary is a little girl who looks eerily similar to JonBenet to me.
Oh, yeah.
And she's like, in her little tiny girl voice, like, I'm auditioning to be JonBenet. And then looks dead in the camera's face and says, do you know who killed JonBenet Ramsey? And I was like, fuck this movie. Like, already. So that made me super uncomfortable. Wasn't a fan of that.
It made me uncomfortable seeing, like, because it was like 10 girls auditioning for JonBenet, and they all look exactly alike.
Yeah.
And they're all in makeup and in these tiny little outfits, and I felt gross watching it.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, ew.
I feel like that's one of the most interesting, like, things about the JonBenet case, is because she was a pageant girl, mm-hmm, and like that weird sexualization of children that like happens, I hope accidentally,
yeah,
but
right,
I don't really know. But something I found really interesting is that it's called Casting JonBenet, and like 95% of the movie is just talking to the adults who are auditioning for the role of the parents or like the police officer, things like that. Which I get, you can't just have an hour-long movie talking to six-year-olds who know nothing about the case. But I, like, because I got it in my head that it was something totally different than what it was, I was, like, just kind of confused, I guess, the whole time.
But you even got, like, so much more out of the auditions for Burke than you did for JonBenet.
Yeah, you did, which was also very weird to me. And we'll get to that.
Yeah.
Because that was a time and a half. But right away, they launch into, like, the second scene of the movie is all of the women who are auditioning for Patsy.
Mm-hmm. And I wrote that they, like, they all look so different.
They do,
compared to, like, all of the little girls look exactly the same and like JonBenet.
Yeah.
And all the women actors look totally different from Patsy.
Yeah, like, some of them were blonde and some of them, like, had dark, black, like, brown, black hair, and all of the women are wearing like that classic red shirt that she wears, and there's this one woman who's like, I'm wearing blue because I just really picture her in blue,
and was like, it's just the pearls, the red shirt doesn't matter.
She's like, I studied her and it's the pearls. And I was like, you go, girl, you set yourself apart from that interview. Which I just thought was really funny. But what I did think was really cool about this movie is that they have all these women like talk and tell you why they're there, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have them do reenactments, which is really interesting. Like, I think that's a cool way. And you get to watch them like get prepared for the scene and do the scene, and that's like a cool way to look at directing, I think, and like watching how something gets made.
And the first scene that they did was the 911 call.
Yes.
And like just watching them all, it was so weird. Like, it was intense. Like, the reenactment parts were intense in this movie.
Yeah.
But it's so weird to watch how everyone has like a different reaction to their tone or behavior of what they think the call should be.
Yeah.
Even though you can clearly like get the call online and listen to how their voices, like, they all do it so differently.
Yeah. And the whole time I was thinking about that, I was thinking about when we were in high school and we were in plays, and our drama teacher said that they will sometimes be looking for how someone would react to a scene. So, like, let's say in their mind, a play that they did at school was Beauty and the Beast. And when she finds his body, like, when he dies, supposedly, she's like, let's say that we want someone who's going to react quietly and, like, mournful. So if you come into the audition with this really over-the-top, like, sobbing, then you just, like, won't get picked based on that reaction. And the whole time I was watching it, I was like, I just feel like I have, like, the director's vision. Like, being a total dickhead.
Yeah, because I felt like that, especially later on with the dad's reenactment scene, where they were very different.
They were very, very different. And that was kind of, like, the next thing. It jumps around a lot. And the next thing after the women are the men auditioning for the role of the father. And they also ask them what they know about the case. And it's really interesting to see, like, how everyone has some other type of information about the case, you know, like the misinformation surrounding it or their opinions. I just thought that was cool to see, like, over the course of the movie.
See, I wrote, like, when they first started, all of the women were, when they would talk about Patsy in the beginning, they talked about what she wore, and, like, they were also pageant people and all this stuff.
Yeah.
And then it cuts to the guys, and they're talking about, like, their connection to the case and, like, just not as material as the woman.
Yeah.
It was just interesting because they were so different.
Yeah, they were. And it's also, stuff like that makes me think, like, were the men just not asked questions like that because they are men? Because they likely weren't even asked anything about that.
Yeah, you know? About what he wore and yeah, stuff like that.
Like that, I feel like that was specifically asked of the women, which is kind of weird because why are, like, there's a whole bunch of weird shit about this case and mm-hmm. we don't need to focus on what the fuck Patsy was wearing, yeah. like, in regards to her phony-ass 911 call. I'm kidding. This is not where I make statements about this case.
When we actually do it, it's where yeah. we make statements.
I loathe, like, this case because there are just so many different conspiracy theories around mm-hmm. it. And, like this movie, I feel like it gets exploited a lot.
There's also, like, these cutscenes that I liked
mm-hmm.
where, like, it kind of gives you a little glimpse of what happened in real life before
right.
they go through. And I thought that was interesting because, like, if you didn't know, like, as much as we know about the case, mm-hmm. you could kind of keep up.
Yeah.
But it was just, like, a good almost, like, palate cleanser from all of the audition tapes to have, right. like, a 30-second scene of, like, oh, yeah, this is, like, something actually happened here and whatever.
Right. Yeah, that was interesting. The next part of this movie is where they start interviewing men for the police position, right?
This is, yes, this is the best part of the fucking thing. This is what I was trying to tell you about.
Oh, as soon as it happened, okay, we're just going to tell you. Because they start interviewing a bunch of different men for the position of, like, the police officer working the case. And they have, like, two police officers who are there, right?
Yeah. And this guy was an actual, like...
He was a police officer. Yeah. And his night job was sex education. And yes. when he said that, I was like, cool. That's awesome. Like I'm proud of you.
Like, maybe he works in a college or yeah. something like that.
This man does not do that.
He pulls out a fucking flogger.
Yeah. So, and they do it with literally zero explanation.
No.
The next, because they do a bunch of cutscenes. Let's say there's 10 men auditioning for the act, like the person who is the police officer. And each of these 10 men's interviews keep flashing back to back to back. And they just return to this guy who says he's a police officer and sex educator. And he has not one, but two different styles of flogging things. And he shows you how to use them.
Yes. And I wrote, like, I said, there's honestly no need to show me how a flogger works. And I said, I know that they did it for comedic effect and to, like, give you a break.
Yeah.
But, like, you're not gonna bring that stuff to an audition?
Yeah, like, he had to have been told yeah. to bring that up. And then this happens a little while later. He talks about his favorite type of strangulation, which is breast strangulation, and he likes tying up your breasts. And then he just takes a phone call in the middle of it. He's like, oh, I'm getting a call from work. I gotta go take this.
See, my exact notes were, and then they go back to this fucking sex guy who was like, I like titty torture. And then he fucking walks off it, in all caps. Then he fucking walks
You're
off
screaming
his-
into your mic. It's okay.
Fucking
I'm gonna kill you. Just fucking back up if you're gonna scream into it. Don't get closer.
So he walks off the audition to take a phone call. It was all in caps, which is why I was
yeah
screaming.
I know.
And then I said, how does he think he's gonna get this fucking job?
I don't know. Like, he low-key was like the best part of that movie, but also the part that made me really annoyed, because truthfully his presence had nothing to do with anything in the case.
Well, did you see in the next cutscene he was the officer portraying the real officer, so they chose him.
They chose all of them, though, really, if you watch the end of the
well,
movie.
Yeah, but like in the yeah. like cut scenes that they
yeah.
do
it It was just a lot. It felt unnecessary. I was not a fan of titty torture, man. Like, you do you. You can do all that you want. But we're talking about JonBenet being murdered. Yeah. And let's not bring up your titty torture. I just love saying that
I
now.
I know.
It's just so fun. It's very, like, it's like alliteration. That's what I'm looking for. Oops, I lost my place.
Well, while you're looking, I wrote that one of the men who was auditioning for the police chief was a police officer in Chicago. And it was hilarious because he just shit on the Boulder police and was like, basically, we used what they did in the JonBenet Ramsey case as a how not to police officer guide.
Yeah, I do remember that because I was like, damn, this guy out here really shitting on them. But I did like how, like, every single time you saw a new group of people, they were talking about something different.
Yes.
And the guys who were playing the police officers were supposed to be talking about the ransom note and how fucking weird it was. And that's, like, the most interesting part of the case to me is the ransom note because it is so bizarre. So I just liked seeing them, like, take different pieces of the case and have, like, a group of people talk about it.
Yeah. And one of the guys was like, come on, it's obvious who wrote this.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they've had, like, handwriting experts is the correct term I'm looking for. They had them, like, analyze all that. Again, when we actually cover the case, this will all be in there.
This will be a long one.
I did love how they then had the mothers read the book that Patsy wrote, and one of them just looks up and goes, I don't remember this being this narcissistic. I read this book when it first came out, and I don't remember it being this bad.
Yeah.
And I just thought that was pretty funny.
They, like, started talking more and more about who they thought did it towards the end. And basically all of the women were like, I think it was Patsy. And then all of the men were also like, yeah, it was 100% Patsy.
Yeah, and all of the men were like, it couldn't have been John. It was definitely Patsy. But what I did like was when they started pairing off the women and men to, like, be couples. And they, like, had them sit down. And they were all so fucking awkward. They, like, wouldn't even look at each other or talk to one another. But it was cool because they, like, had them start speaking about the case, like, together.
Yeah.
Which I thought was interesting. Like, they just started, like, mixing more people in.
So it wasn't just one point of view at a time.
Yeah. And they even had, at one point, they're, like, the scene that they're filming is the first, like, press conference that the Ramseys do. And one of the guys is like, I think that I would be turned in towards Patsy. And she's like, I don't think I'd be turned in towards you. And, like, just fucking, like, shifts her body. And is like, I am taking Patsy very seriously. And I have seen her. And she does not do that. But I, like, a lot of that was really funny to me. Like, watching some of the more serious actors, like, be really serious in their roles.
I liked, I don't even remember where it was from, but one of the actor guys was just like, yeah, I was a felon and I got out and decided I'd try acting.
I don't remember that at all. That's amazing. So what I have written down next is the casting of the little brother.
Me too. Okay.
And one, like, watching it at the beginning was funny to me because you just see these little boys who are, like, so fidgety and will not pay attention, and they're just, like, saying the most random shit to the director. Like, one of the kids goes, did you know that my house has a pool in the backyard? And, like, it was really, really cute and funny. And then they had the little boys say, I wrote down the line, oh yeah, if you tell someone a secret, it is no longer a secret. So they had all of the little boys going out for the brother's part say that line. And some of the kids whispered it. And I was like, wow, I've never wanted to punch a child off the screen more because it was so uncomfortable.
It was creepy.
It was really creepy. And I don't know what the point of it was. Like, I guess that must be a memorable line from the case, probably. But I don't remember that line at all.
I don't either.
And they also have this one guy who, like, while they're casting the kids, talk, like, they have a couple of different people, like, talk about stuff they did as kids.
Mm-hmm.
And this one guy goes into a story about how him and his friends, like, used to hang each other when they were 10 years old. And, like, the whole time he was saying that, it was just, like, reaffirming to me that I do not want children. Because, like, what if your fucking 10-year-old was dicking around and he accidentally hung himself with his friends? That can happen. Like, they had no idea that wasn't going to fail on their behalf. But it reminded me that when I was a kid, you know, fold-out couches that have beds?
Mm-hmm.
We used to...
It's called a futon?
No. It's a couch that has a bed in it.
Isn't that what a futon is?
Futons, like, also turn into couches, but they're two different things.
Oh. I thought a futon was just...
Like, it looks like my couch out in the living room, okay. And there's a bed in it. Never had those? A pull-out couch?
I have, but I thought they were called a futon.
A futon usually has, like, a metal frame to it.
Oh. I did not know. I just thought all couches with beds inside were called a futon.
Nah, I don't think so.
I was wrong.
I don't know. It could be. But regardless, we used to take turns folding one of our friends in and putting them all the way down and then trying to pull them back up. But sometimes we weren't strong enough and we wouldn't be able to get them out for like 10 minutes while they were crying. And we're just like, don't tell your parents. Like, we're trying to get them out. So I guess kids just do dumb shit.
Yeah.
So that was my story. But that guy, that story to me was just too far. Mm-hmm. Like, the whole hanging thing was just a lot. And this is kind of where the movie got to be too much for me and too exploitative, was when they had the boys beat a watermelon with a flashlight.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was too much, and I got what point they were trying to make, but their point also kind of failed because some of the boys were able to crack the watermelon and some weren't.
Yeah, it was really intense because right before that happened, one of the men talked about, he was just like 10 years old, he wouldn't have had the strength to do that. And then it cuts to the scene of all of them smashing in the watermelons.
Yeah, and like that was definitely their like reasoning behind it and the point that they did it. But I just was like, it's unnecessary. Like, it felt gross to me, mm-hmm. because I knew what they were trying to show was him cracking a skull open. Yeah. Like, that's too far.
And going back a little bit.
Yeah.
I just wrote that, like, comparatively to the girls, like, the boys were so much more, like, nervous about it. And all the girls were, like, flaunting themselves. And, like, then once they were able to, like, get up and move and had the flashlight, like, every single one of the boys, like, demeanors changed. And they went from being nervous to, like, excited and having fun.
Yeah. It was really interesting because all of them looked very uncomfortable, like, introducing themselves, mm-hmm. and trying to get into that. Then they take a brief turn into discussing the different conspiracy theories surrounding the case.
Yes.
Like, that the family may have been involved in a child sex ring and things like that, which... The whole movie is kind of a conspiracy theory, really, because no one knows what happened.
Yeah, it's just all opinions of people.
Yeah, it's all speculation. So I thought it was interesting that they took the time to do a specific conspiracy portion, mm-hmm. when the whole thing was kind of like that. But it was fine. My next line just made me laugh. But do you have anything?
I was just...
Because my next thing's about Santa.
Okay, so I said that, first off...
Yes.
I never really heard much about the Santa theory before this movie.
Yeah.
And one of the guys playing Santa, instead of saying 2006, said 2006, like I do, and you yell at me for
it. I have never yelled at you for that.
You're like, it's 2006.
Oh, well, it is. That guy's wrong.
But I was like, I have some backup.
So one of the men who was dressed up like Santa,
I wrote down the exact quote,
literally said that dressing up like Santa was like doing heroin.
Oh, I wrote down another quote.
No,
oh.
He said that, and I was like, okay, guy, chill the fuck out. Dressing up like Santa is not the same thing as doing heroin. That's like when white people make like a dip with bacon and they're like, crack dip. And it's like, you don't know what crack is, Karen. Shut the fuck up.
So I wrote down the quote from whom I called Bad Santa.
Yes.
And he was talking about his own theory.
Okay.
And he said, quote, I thought it was Patsy Ramsey. I think she just threw a fit. She was probably a royal bitch of a mother.
Oh, yeah. That line, I was like, oh, okay, like, Santa.
I literally was like, damn, boy.
Yeah, the Santas were a lot. All of them were just like a lot. And, you know, it's fine. But fun fact that I didn't know before this movie is that men who dress up like Santa have to get a background check every year.
Which is a smart thing.
Very smart thing. But it was just something I never knew that we had regulations on Santa.
But, you know, it's got to be like just the mall Santas, not like, I feel like, ones that go to your house for like personal parties and
stuff. Oh yeah, like if you're
are not
like
regulated.
Have a person at your church who dresses up like Santa, they're not being regulated. But if they're doing it as a profession, then they are, which is nice to know. The next thing is that they just have a little girl scream as loud as fucking possible directly into the camera. So, like, just a warning, don't watch this with your headphones on, because I had to pull them out of my ears so fast.
And in, like, that scene, the little girls start getting fitted for the Ramsey, or the JonBenet wig, where she wears the little pink cowboy suit.
Yeah.
And there's just one scene with this little girl, and she's just staring, like, off into space, eating a cookie while she's getting her wig on. And I was like, that little girl is me.
Yeah, that was a funny scene. And I loved how, like, all of the little girls, when they were getting the wig put on, just looked like, I hate this wig.
One of them was like, why am I doing this? Why do I have to wear a wig? I have blonde hair.
Yeah. Which, I mean, she isn't wrong.
Yeah.
So the next portion, and I can't remember the guy's name, but the man who confessed.
John Mark Carr.
Okay, yeah. So they had like a bunch of different men go out for the role of him. And there is this one guy.
The first guy, right?
I think so. I don't know. But he's like talking about how that man was like obviously very sick because he like confessed to something he didn't do because there was evidence that he didn't do it. And like, honestly, that man creeped me out so fucking much. And he might just be like a great actor and that's why. But just watching him like talk about this other guy made me feel super uncomfortable. Yes. And I was like, you, sir, are kind of creeping me out.
Because there was a part where, like, he started talking about JonBenet. And I was like, is this coming from you? And, like,
oh, yeah, where he was like, she was beautiful. She was a beautiful little girl. And I was like, don't say those three words together.
But honestly, I mean, like, I looked up pictures of this guy and everything. Like, he was, like, a dead-on match.
Was he? Yeah. Oh, that's pretty funny. No, you on.
I was just going to say, like, throughout this movie, you got, like, invested in the different actors.
Yeah.
You, like, chose your favorite actor.
It's true. And this, one of my very last notes is, this whole movie honestly just kind of showed me how actors are the literal worst. Because at the very end, they're getting this guy to, like, do a direct talk to the camera. And he's like adjusting in his chair and he's like, you know, I just like, I can't do it unless my core is completely relaxed. And I think I need a different chair height or like something, or I need to move it back from the table. And I was like, sir, your core can be relaxed. Just fucking slouch in your chair, my guy.
I know. Like, and they brought him a new chair and it was like, it was because he was trying to like fake cry.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it was ridiculous.
And like, I know acting is an art, but I was also like, come on, guy. This is a bit much for me that you can only cry if your core is fully relaxed. Yeah. And then I just, the last note I have is that the last 10 minutes of the movie are all of the different couples acting out like all of the scenarios mm-hmm. that have ever pretty much been discussed around this case, which was kind of like the only cool part of the movie to me. Like, that was my favorite part, where the last 10 minutes where you get individual scenes with all of the couples and then it pans out and they're all screaming and acting at the same time.
Yeah, I thought it was like really powerful to see the different reactions everyone was having.
Yeah.
And to see them all like being there together and how many different scenarios could have happened in one room.
Yeah. Yeah, that was cool. I think that was like a really interesting way to like show that the story isn't fully told. It was just a weird movie.
It was something totally different and something I didn't expect.
Yeah, for sure. It was definitely different than what I expected. I think it was mostly just like, because I feel like the JonBenet case is like a very exploited case
mm-hmm.
that like a lot of media surrounding it to me just feels even more exploitative. And I think if that movie honestly didn't have the hammer scene or the flashlight scene with the watermelon, that it would have been like at least a 7 or an 8 for me.
Okay.
But that like instantly brought it down. And I was like, if you're just trying to shock people, shock them with actual information instead of just witnessing something that's like emotional.
Yeah.
You know, like that's my thing. If you're going to shock me, use actual fact to shock me instead of
a watermelon.
Yeah. Instead of a watermelon or like a almost killing a fucking cat like last week.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Don't just use emotional shit. But that's all the notes I had on casting JonBenet.
Me too.
We wrote down almost exactly the same stuff.
Oh, yeah. We have the same mind. It's fine.
It's true. We are mind melded.
I didn't like that, though.
Why?
I don't know.
Is it because I did a pose when I said mind melded?
Probably.
But let us know what your thoughts are on this case, guys. Not this case, because everyone has thoughts on this case. I mean, on casting JonBenet.
Yes, on the movie.
On the movie.
Go watch it because it's interesting and it's different. And then, see what you think comparatively to us.
Yeah. It's only 1 hour and 20 minutes. And I know I complained that seemed like a long time. But in hindsight, like compared to most other documentaries and shit like that, it's really not that long.
I did watch it at work today and it made my work day go by faster.
Did it?
It did.
It felt like it dragged mine on.
Well, so because I like started it at 10 and then I had to like pause it every once in a while to answer the phone.
Yeah.
And then by the time I finished it 1 hour and 20 minutes later, it was already like 12. And I was like, hey, that's 2 hours out of my day.
That's true. That's very fair. Yeah, no, I watched it during a slow portion of the day, so there was just like nothing else to do.
Mm-hmm.
But we hope that you guys enjoyed this and let us know how you feel about casting JonBenet, if you think it's exploitative or if you think it's fine.
Yeah, and let us know what you would like to see us discuss in the future.
Yeah, for sure. You can do that anywhere. Twitter, Instagram. crimebinge@gmail.com, my favorite form social media.
The main social media.
All right, guys. We'll see you next week and keep on binging. Bye.
See ya.